Daf is Daf Kuf Yud Beis. So we got four lines down. We were going through Mishnah about different types of ksharim, different types of knotting and tying on Shabbos, and different garments, hats, and shirts, and whatnot. So the Gemara says now four lines down, it's quoting from the Mishnah of Miftach Chalukah, some type of shirt that women would wear, so that would be allowed to, you could tie that on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, Pshita, of course you can. A robe, okay, a robe a woman would wear. So of course you could tie that on Shabbos because it's you don't wear it, but it's not permanent. It's not kesher shekayama. So what's the chiddush? Pshita. So Gemara says latzricha is only needed for a situation to islay trei dashi where there are two. They describe as two openings. Rashi says there are two openings and two places to tie it in. And the Havamina here says the Gemara is that since there are two ways to tie it, I'll read Rashi just in a second. Mal the same. What would you have thought? Chade minayum bitulei. Maftil, one remains shut. Batal means the kesher becomes batal. Meaning there are two ways to untie. If you untie both, it's easy to put on. If you only untie one and the other one remains tied, you could still get the robe on, but a little bit harder, but it still works. So there's a chashash, perhaps, that if you tie them, you might leave one tied when you remove it, untie only one, the other one remains tied, and that other one remains a kesher shekayama, because you don't really need to untie both of them. So since you're leaving it for a long period of time, you're betulei batulei, then it's going to be a batel and a kesher shekayama, and a kamashulam that we're not concerned that people do that. People untie both of them, which are going to make the kesher eina kayama, not a permanent kesher, and therefore it would be permitted. So that's the first case. So Gemara then says, in a similar fashion, v'chutei svava, these were some types of strings that were on a hat that women would wear. Gemara says, pshita, of course, that's a kesher, shena kayama, they tie it to wear it, and they untie it to take it off. They don't wear that permanently. The tie doesn't remain permanently. So Gemara says, pshita, lo tzricha, diravi chela, it's a type of hat that's a little bit of loose, and you could kind of squeeze it off without having to untie it. Certainly untying it would be easier, but you could also squeeze it off without taking off the ties. So Mal the same, what would you think? Mishlef Shaliflei, a woman might try to take it off her head and just, without untying it, just kind of smooth it off the hair in such a way. Kamashwa on the Chid, the Gemara says, we're not concerned that women are going to leave the knots in place and take it off that way. You know, people oftentimes, I don't wear shoelaces because I'm too lazy, I always wear slip-ons. But those who wear shoelaces, they oftentimes don't untie it because they just slip their feet in and take it out. Now, it's obviously, if you untie it, it will be easier, but you could still leave the shoes tied to slip your feet out and slip your feet back in. So, too, this hat, if it remains tied, you could take it off and put it back on. That would work. And if a woman were to tie it on Shabbos and then leave it that way and just take it off with the tie still in, that's going to be a kesher shekayama. So that's the Havamina. Mal the same, what would you have thought? Mishlef Shaliflei, she's going to just remove the hat without having to untie it, which means that the tie she made when she initially put it on remained a kesher shel kayama. Kamash Mulan, the Isha Chasa Asara, Umisha Sharile. Women are very careful about their hair. They don't want to ruin their hair underneath it. They don't want to pull it out. They don't want to undo it if it's braided or something. And therefore, women make sure to Mishre Sharile, to untie it first, and only then will they remove it. So this way, those ties are not a Kesha Shakayama. Okay, the Gemara now says, quoting from the Mishnah, that rutsuos minal, the sandal, when it comes to the straps, the laces of shoes and sandals, so that was also allowed. You could tie them on Shabbos and untie them on Shabbos. So itmar, the Gemara quotes a machlokas here between different brises. Hit the rutsuos minal the sandal. If one unties any of these straps or any of these laces, tani chada chayv chatas. One brise says you're chayv chatas for doing so. Tani idach, another brise says, pater val aser. And yet, the third Tana says, Tani idach mutter lichatchila. So we have a three-way machlokas, whether it's chiv and iser or mutter. So kasha minal aminal, kasha sandal asandal. It's a shoes. There's a contradiction in understanding the whether shoes are allowed and contradiction in the gabe sandals. So the Gemara explains, minal aminal lo kasha. There's no question with regards to the shoes. They're talking about different types of shoes. So what does that mean? So the Gemara explains that minal aminal lo kasha had the katani chayv chatas. That which it says is chayv chatas for untying such a tie on Shabbos. Bidush kapi, what's that referring to? So if you take a look, Rashi explains here that the ushkape, Rashi says, is bekesha she ushkaf osa, that the shoemaker, he makes the initial tie. Kisha tochev haritu b'minal, when you initially lace the shoe, kosher kesha mitocho, you tie something inside the shoe, shlotucha latte, it's like, you know, you have a string, so you tie a knot at the end, so if you pull it, it never goes through, it doesn't go through the hole. So that we have different shoelaces than we had. Our shoelaces go, you know, one through. But they probably had, I'm not sure if they had like two shoelaces on each shoe. So they'd have one tied into the shoe with a knot at the end so it doesn't leave the hole. It stays remain. And then they probably lace it through and they tie the top both shoelaces. So that first knot that they make that keeps the shoelace in the shoe, that's what we're describing here. That's a kesher shakama. That's never supposed to be undone. And if one were to untie that, that would be a violation of a chiyuv chatas. That's the first brisa. Then pater aval aser midrabanan. That's a case of midrabanan where it's aser to do. What's that talking about? Midrabanan. Rashi says kishakoshin saviv regalim, when they tie the laces around their feet. Ain koshin bedochik. They don't tie that knot. They don't tie that tightly. Shepamim cholzo kishu kosher v'nolo kishu kosher. I described before. Sometimes they're able to squeeze their feet out while it's still tied. So that's a loose type of knot. Mihu kesher shekayam alohavi, but it's not a permanent kesher. Why is it not a permanent kesher? So this is a very important Rashi. Remember when I learned this? Oh, not this Rashi. The next Rashi, I think. Shebishas hatit matir noso, when it's all muddy. So then they take it off, because if the shoe's muddy, you don't want to start pulling off a muddy shoe while while it's knotted, so getting that hands will dirty, so you'll untie it and then take it off regularly. So sometimes they will untie the regular bow that they make when putting it on. And shebishasa tit matirin also, v'koshin also bedochik, shelo yidabik betit v'yishamit b'raglav. So there's sometimes where they'll untie the shoe. Sometimes they leave it tied, and sometimes they untie it. So that's not permanent. And therefore, that would be only an iser b'darbanan because it does last for a period of time. And then the third example, what's it mutar l'chachila? When are you allowed to completely untie it and tie it on Shabbos? That's b'divnei mechoza. But b'divnei mechoza, what would they do with b'divnei mechoza? So Rashi explains, but b'divnei mechoza, shame, rach ve'levav, they were very, literally wide-hearted, but they were very particular in how they dressed, how they appeared. They were very particular that their clothing and shoes, everything was very tailored. Everything fit nicely, tailor-made. And therefore, they wanted their shoes to be very tight and fit. They have to take it out each evening. The shoes were so fit, there's no way for them to squeeze it out. It was tied. Everything was so tight. So if they tied it tightly, they couldn't squeeze their feet out. So they'd have to, every evening, take it out. So it sounds like from this Rashi, if a person ties it within 24 hours, it's mashma. That's not a kesher shakayama. If it's li'olam, if it's forever, the first Rashi we saw, I didn't read that part of Rashi. If it lasts forever, like that tie that they make the shule stay in, that's a chiv chatas. If it lasts for a period of time, a few days, that's an isim midirbanam. If it only lasts for that day, by the evening they untie it, that would be entirely mutter. That's the three different opinions when it comes to a minnah. Then the Gemara says, what about sandal, sandal, akashi? What about a sandal? That too is not a steer between the three different prices. Had the katani chayv chatas, one that says your chayv chatas, b'ditai, the katra ushkape, was talking about a type of Arab who the initial tie that was made by the shoemaker. That was Rashi explains the sandalayim, shayishma'ilim, sochim, the Arab merchants. So they would, the initial tie, that would be an isra, the chayv chatas rather. The case that Patar Val Aser B'duchum Rasa de Katri Inu is B'duchum Rasa, Rashi says the sandals worn by other people, not Arab merchants, but other people, that they don't have the straps apparently don't stay inside the shoe. You remove the straps each time you wear them. So then the individual wearers would be the ones to tie them. And sometimes it lasts that Rashi says, at the end of the Rashi B'duchum Rasa, Rashi says, Pamim, at the end of that Rashi, Pamim Shemis Kaim Shabbos Ochodesh. Sometimes it can last a week, sometimes even a month. That's still not a Kesha Shakayama. Kesha Shakayama is only Li'olim, if they're forever. But if it lasts for a week or a month, so that would be an Aser, Pataval Aser. So that's, again, the regular, the more sophisticated Arab merchant sandals, which they wear all the time as they traveled, and that not stayed forever. A individual, my regular person who's not an Arab merchant, they would leave it there for a month and then take it out, the straps in and out. That would be pater v'aser. The third category, when it came to a sandal, the Gemara explains, mutar l'chachila b'sandal d'nafki by trey. A shoe that would be worn by two different people. Apparently, Rashi explains here, d'nafki by trey, tarach kol echad v'echad likshur l'fi raglo, hilkach b'chol yom kosher matiru. It shares shoes. The way sandals are open. So sandals, they could, some people have a bigger feet, smaller feet, but when I'd first wear the sandal bottom, I'd then give them to you. And then you wear the next day, we'd share them. So that type of sandal every single day would be undone. So if it's undone every single day, that would be mutar l'chachila. So these are three different types of sandals.
So I'm sorry. So let's say, I'm a little bit confused about the halakhah, because let's say there is a kesher that is lafsha kaima because if you put it with one hand, it goes up. If you're planning to leave it through the day, that's also aser midarabban.
The big machlokus is when the Rishonim trying to figure this out. That's the question. Is it about how long it stays for, or how tight it is? So you're right. So for the Mishnah, the Mishnah itself asked that question within Rabbi Meir. Was it about how tight it is, or was it the ability to undo it? And the Gemara says, Teiku. They weren't sure what the svara of was, Rabbi Meir. So this is an ongoing theme between the Rishonim. If it's about like the Maisa Kshira, how it's tight, or how it's tied, or how long it plays. So that's the Maisa Kshira versus a Totsa, the result, what's been accomplished. So the Gemara says, like, this last sandal, the Nafki Beit Trei, that two people would share the shoe, and each day that each person would tie differently. That's Kedirav Yehuda. Kedirav Yehuda, Achu Derav Sala, Chasida. He was the brother of Rav Sala. Havalei Hahu, Zuga, the Sadalei. He had this pair of sandals. Zimdin Denafik Beit Ihu. Sometimes he would wear them, and Zimdin Denafik Beit Yenuke, and sometimes a child would wear them. So an adult and child could share the same sandal, but the size of the feet were slightly different, so they have to each day tie it differently. So also the Kami Debai, they went to Abai, and Amrlei Kiya Gavna Ma. They asked, is this type of sandal, can you tie it and untie it on Shabbos? Amrlei, he says, Chayv Chatas for wearing such a shoe. So Amrlei Hash Patav Al Asr Kakashili. I was asking whether it's Patav Al Asr or Mutter, but you're telling me it's a level above a Chayv Chatas, commercially? So my time, and why do you think it's a Chayv Chatas? So he says, sometimes I wear it, sometimes my child wears it, so we take turns. So if that's the case, if that's how you use the sandal, then mutar l'chachila. So if it's something that you share with your child or someone else, and each day it's being tied differently, since it's less than 24 hours, that would be what we would say, mutar l'chachila. So these are the three types of sandalam, and these are the three types of minol. So the Gemara now says, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yirmiyah, Havakazil Basre de Rabbi Abohu, the Carmelis. One time, Rabbi Yirmiyah was following Rabbi Abohu in the Carmelis. Ifsik Ritsua de Sandale. And the laces snapped on his sandal. And Amrlei, my Niavidle. So he says, what should I do? So he asked Rabbi Abohu, I'm not sure who's talking to at this point. Rabbi Yirmiyah asked Rabbi Abohu, what should I do? So Amrlei, Shakel Gemi Lach de Chazi Lamaycha Behema. Find some Gemi. How did he find Gemi again? Some moist reed. That's edible, so it's not muksa, that you could feed to animals. The karacha alave, and wrap it over that area. And this way, if you stick the sandalim together, so then you could continue to wear. So Rashi just explains here, karach b'makum haritzua, the last narrow line of Rashi, b'makum haritzua, v'nalo ad tichanis. So you kind of wrap it around where the place of the strap was, the strap snapped. And this way, you could continue to wear the sandal and bring it to your house. So Abaye, Have a kakame the Rav Yosef. So Abaye now was once in front of Rav Yosef, and if sikle ritzu, and his laces snapped. Amalei my avilei, he asked, what should he do? Amalei shavke, leave it, don't touch it. So my shenam the Rabbi Yirmiyah. Why by Rabbi Yirmiyah did we say you should take gemi and put it on these wet reeds and put them on and continue to wear the sandal? But here you said just leave it alone, not to fix it. So he says hasam over there by Rabbi Yirmiyah lo mintar. It wasn't protected. It wasn't a makom shamer. And we were concerned that someone might steal it. So there's a heter to put the gemi on and wear the sandal like that. Hachaminta, but here, you're in an area that's protected. It's not in a Carmelis. It's in a Rosh Hashanah Yachid of some sort. And therefore, there's no concern of someone taking it. So just leave it till after Shabbos. So the Gemara says, Bavaha manihu. But isn't this a kli? What's the problem? Why don't you just pick it up? There wasn't a shayla of hotzah, shayla of a muksa. So why is it asa to move? Rashi explains, Bavaha manihu, two lines down in Rashi. Why lines down in Rashi? But my also letalta, why can't you move it? Isn't it still called a minol? Isn't it still called a shoe? And therefore you should be able to wear it. So as Rashi says further, rather the Gemara says further, if you wanted, you could take it from the right shoe and put it in the left shoe, the right foot to the left foot. The way it works was, they had the sandals remain in such a way where they could flip it around backwards, like at a front and a back end. So even though the right one snapped that ritzua, you could still put it on the left sandal. Rashi explained some of the Metzias, which is going to help set up the next few lines. If you look at Rashi, three Y lines down, he says, "Di ba'ina hafichna miyamin l'smol." You could use it from the right foot and now wear it on your left foot. Shasandal yeshla shtei tarsios. It has two tarsios, like two tongues to it, the ends that you pull the shoe on. And vehena shall or they're made of leather. Makom kviyas haritzuos, the place where you put the ritzuos in. One's on the outside, right? And you have a shoe with laces. So the inside of your shoe, you know, the left foot, let's say my right foot for a second. So this is the inside, this is the outside. So you put the laces through these tarsin. Right, that's what we call tarsin, right? So you put them through the inside and this is the outside. Each shoe has its inside and outside. The right foot is, this is the inside, this is the outside of it. The left shoe, this is the inside, this is the outside. But we're talking about where you lace the laces in, those holes. So each one has two of these, Gemara explains. Again, shtei tarsiotein. And they're made of ore. And achas mi b'chutz, achas mi b'fnim. Lebein shnei regalim, kein sheish limanalim shalano. Just like our shoes, there's an inside and an outside of each of the shoes. Ukshenifsak hapnimi, when the inside area snaps, roihu letakno, you can still fix it. V'af agav shetikunu nikar, even though you might recognize how you fix it, v'ganaihu, it doesn't look so nice, miu letzad pnim lo mischazi. If you switch it around to the inside, it won't be recognizable. So if you have like a little scratch on something, you'll be able to switch your shoes to the other foot, so you won't notice it if it's in the inside of where a person walks. So it's possible to switch them around. And ukshenifska chitonu, when the outside strap snaps, ain't no hagen shuv l'takna. But when the outside already snaps, it's not you can't really fix it anymore. V'hach d'abaye chitonu ifsik b'shem hachi asir Rav Yosef afilu l'taltal. Because when it came to Abaye, the outside one was the one that snapped, and that you can't really fix. But still a mana. But if I switch it to the other foot, the outside will become the inside and it won't be recognizable. So there's a way to switch the shoes around and make it still usable. So the Gemara says, now back inside, again, I can switch it from the right shoe to the left foot and therefore it won't be recognizable, it will be the inside. So Amalei, Midika Mitarit Rabbi Yochanan, Alivit Rabbi Yehuda. We'll see in a second what that means. Like Rabbi Yochanan answered according to the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, and Shvamina Halacha Rabbi Yehuda. We pass like Rabbi Yehuda. Who's Rabbi Yehuda? Who's Rabbi Yochanan? So Gemara says, Ma'i, what are we talking about? The Tani, the Brisa says, Sandal Shenifsaku Shtei Oznav. If you have a sandal that it snapped, both of its Oznav snapped, the Oznav, they explain here in Rashi, is that which is on top of the regel, on top of the foot. You know, when you pull the, what? Yeah, the tongue, you pull, it's called an ear here in Hebrew, but you pull the, when you put the shoe on, you take the top of it to pull onto your foot. That's the top part that goes underneath the laces usually. So if Shnei Oznav, if the two tongues or ears, according to the Gemara, if both of them snap, and Oshtei Tarsiosov, which are the two flaps on the side of the shoe where you lace the laces to, Oshenitel Koakaf Shalo, or you take the entire bottom of the sole of the shoe, those are basically the three parts of a shoe. The bottom, the two sides of the laces, and the top where you pull the shoe on. So if any of those three parts are entirely removed, it's tahor. That shoe is tahor, which means it's not kli anymore. A kli, only a kli is metame. That which is not a kli, that which has no use to it, is tahor. So then, if it, let's say, achas mi oznav, let's say only one of them breaks. O achas mi tarsiosav, or only one of the flaps break. O shenital rov hakafshel, or most, but not all of the soles removed, that's still tame, according to the Tanakhama. There is still some level of use to it. I guess you could fix it. That's still considered tame. So Rashi just explains here, tame, lo parcha tume me'alav, the tume has not left. If the shoe is already tame, it doesn't leave if it's missing any of these items. Dakati manahu, it's still called a kli. V'afilu nifsaka chitona, even if the outside one breaks, where it's no longer, it's not really so nice to wear, it's a ganai to wear it. You can switch it from the right to the left foot. V'nim says chitona nasis panimis, the outside becomes the inside. So this is all the Tanakhama. Comes along now the Braisa to quote Rabbi Yehuda Shita. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, nifsaka panimis tame hachitona tahor. If the inside snaps, it's still tame, it's still a kli, because no one notices the inside. But the outside snaps, it's tar, because the outside is no longer usable, it's a ganai. So we see from Rabbi Yehuda at least, though, Rabbi Yehuda was not willing to switch it around. If the outside snapped, you can't switch it to start using on the other foot as the inside, that would be considered tahor. So the Gemara now says, V'amar Ula, Ula says, V'isayim other say Rabba Barbar Rav Chana Amar Rav Yochanan, Kimachlokas Linyan Tum. That was all Agabe Tumma. Agabe Hilchos Tumma of that which is Tame, that which is Tame and Tahor, Kach Machlokas Linyan Shabbos. The same Machlokas exists Agabe Hilchos Shabbos when something snaps, if the outside one snaps, whether it's a Kli anymore for Hilchos Shabbos, it's Mux or not Mux anymore. So that's what he says. Aval Linyan Chalitza, which is not our topic right now, but with respect to Chalitza, with respect to the chalitza, the halacha would be different. What's a halacha legabe chalitza? So the Gemara is going to interpret this in the bottom in just a second. But either way, we see, Rabbi Yochanan says that Aliba Deman, when Rabbi Yochanan said his din, that this din of is Machlokas Lagabe Tumah is also Lagabe Hilcha Shabbos, who was he saying this according to? Was he working within the Shita of Rabbanim, or was he working within the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda? In other words, Vinam Bar Rabbi Yochanan Aliba Deman, who is he talking about when he equates these two debates? Ilema Aliba the Rabbanan, if he's talking about the Pinna Rabbanan, Midilinin Tumah, Manahave, Linin Shabbos Nami Manahave, that with respect to when the outside flap snaps, so that's still a tame, because you can use it for the other shoe and move it to the inside. So to the Hilchos Shabbos, if the outside snaps, it's not muksa, because you could still switch it around. Aval lo lechalitza, but with respect to chalitza, la manu, it's not a manu with respect to chalitza. It's only a kli, it's only a shoe for tumah purposes and for Shabbos purposes, but not for chalitza purposes. But could that really be the case? V'hatan, doesn't the Mishnah tell us in Maseches Yevamos that chalitza shall smol b'yamim chalitza sakshera? That if you use the left foot on the left shoe for the right foot, right? The din is you're supposed to remove the shoe from the feet. But let's say the wrong shoe is on the wrong foot. So the din is it still works, even though l'chachila it shouldn't be that way. If it were done that way, it's still acceptable. So we see the right foot to the left foot is actually a good kli. So it does work for chalitza. So that can't be that Rabbi Yochanan is talking about it's not a good kli for chalitza for the opinion of chachamim. Ella, it must be aliba de Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yochanan made a statement l'gabi Rabbi Yehuda, meaning midilainin tumalav manhu, from the fact that Rabbi Yehuda says when the outside flap snaps, it's no longer kli legabi tuma, and not therefore it's tahor. So to linen Shabbos nami la manu. With respect to Shabbos, it's also not kli, which means it's muksa. So only legabi Shabbos and tuma is it not a kli. But in contrast, aval lo lechalitza means with respect to chalitza, it's not the case. Meaning it is a manu, it is a kli legabi hilchos chalitza, and that's what Yochanan's working with. So the Gemara, according to this, now we understand back to the previous discussion. When we said above, why do we say, isn't it a mana when the rabbi is walking and his outside flap snapped? He said, leave it alone, it's muksa. Why is it muksa? I could use the right shoe now and switch it to the left shoe and it'll become the inside. And the Gemara says, no, just like Rabbi Yochanan's understanding of Rabbi Yehuda, that once the outside flap snaps, it's no longer kli legabe tumah, so too legabe hilchos Shabbos is not a kli anymore, and therefore it would be muksa. That's how we bring in shitas Rabbi Yochanan according to Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara now says, continuing this conversation, last four lines of the Amud here, Eimar d'arminan chalitza shel smol b'yamin chalitzasa k'sheira. Granted, the Mishnah says if you take the left shoe and you put in the right foot for chalitza, it's a good chalitza. Hecha d'lemilse manehu. That's only true when the shoe itself is objectively a good shoe. Meaning we're talking about if I've got a good right shoe, there's nothing broken. I move it to my left foot, okay, it's the wrong feet, but that shoe is still a shoe. But here, our case, we're talking about where the shoe broke. My right shoe is not a whole shoe. It's the outside's broken. So who says, Amar, this makes sense. Darminan, reading this again. Chalitza shel smol b'yamin, that's a chalitza sakshera. It's only hecha, perhaps only when. Dilemilse manahu, when for its own purpose as the right shoe, it's a good shoe. I just put it on the wrong foot. But hacha, lemilse la manahu. But here, the right shoe is broken. I can't use it as a right shoe because the outside flap is snapped. So to switch it to the left shoe, I need to turn it around. But standing alone as a right shoe, it's not a mon anymore. The Ha'am Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda says, Nifsaka chitzona, once the outside flap breaks, it's tahur. Amala manahu. So maybe lagabe chalitz, it's also not a mon anymore. If we're talking about where it broke. So the Gemara says, Liolam really, Alibra de Rabbi Yehuda, maybe lagabe Rabbi Yehuda, we should say, Ema v'chein l'chalitza. Meaning, there is no contrast anymore. Just like when the outside snaps, Lagabe Hilchos Tuma, it's not a kli. And also by Hilchos Shabbos, it's not a kli, and therefore muksa. So to Lagabe Chalitza, if it snaps, it's not a kli, and won't be good for Chalitza either. But Hakamashvam, this teaches us that the Chi Amrinan Chalitza Shel Smol B'Shel Yamim Chalitza Sakshair, this teaches us the Chiddush now, that when the left shoe on the right foot works, it's only true. Hecha, going on to Amrin Beis now, to Lemilse Manahu, when it still functions in its initial purpose, the shoe is still whole. Aval hacha the milse la manhu, but here in this case, since the outside flap broke, it's not a whole kli, it's not a whole shoe, and therefore, if you were to switch to the other foot by chalitza, it would not actually be a good chalitza.
So according to this, if you are mekel on Shabbos or Machmir on chalitza,
this would be an example where by a chumrah of Shabbos, it's iser muksa would be tar, would be a kula legabe chosam. Exactly, and it would be a chumrah for chalitza because it wouldn't work. Exactly, right. Yeah. Exactly. So Gemara now says two lines down here in Amud Beis. Umiyam Rabbi Yochanan, Hachi, does Rabbi Yochanan really say that Hachi, Vaham Rabbi Yochanan, does Rabbi Yochanan say Allah, Kestam Mishnah, we pass like a Stam Mishnah? What's a Stam Mishnah? V'tanan the Mishnah in Meseches Kalim teaches us that Sandal Shenifsika Achas Mi Oznav V'tikna Tame. If, let's say, one of the Oznav, one of the, what we call again, the tongues, or you pull the shoe up to wear, if it breaks, V'tikna and you fix it, it's still Tame. Because it never was undone from a kli entirely. It's tame midras. If a zav were to sit on it, or rather wear it, it's tame midras. It still retained its shame kli. So my lav, lo shna, penimis lo shna chetzon, is not referring to whether or not the outside or the inside snap. Meaning up until this point, Rabbi Yochanan commented, according to Behuda, if the outside one broke, it's tahor. Here, if it says if one of the oznav broke, we don't care whether it's outside or the inside, it's still tame, it's still a kli. Even if the outside one were to break, it still is a kli. This is against what Rabbi Yochanan said earlier. Again, my lav does not say lo shna penimis, lo shna chitona. We don't care whether the inside or outside ozen breaks, and yet it still remains a kli. So Gemara says, lo, penimis dafka. Now when the Mishnah said that the sandal shenuska achas mi ozen broke, it's only talking about dafka when the inside one breaks. It's still a usable kli. But ein echanami aval chitzona, if the chitzona broke, my tower, that would be tower, that would be Rabbi Yochanan l'shitaso. Ihachi, that's really what the Mishnah is saying, that is really a qualification of this Mishnah, that only if the inside one breaks, but not the outside, so the Mishnah should have made such a distinction. Because Ihachi, that's the case, adatani, nifsaka shnia, v'tikna tower. The Mishnah goes on to say, if the second ozen breaks, and now both ozen breaks, then that would be tower, it's no longer kli. So the Mishnah again says, Adatani nifsaka shniya, once the second one breaks, v'tikna, you fix it, it's tahar mina midras, aval tame maga midras. So it's tahar from midras, from a person, a zav, sitting in there wearing it, but if the person touches it, it still is a matame maga. So we have this klal in general. The style of the Mishnah is whenever the Mishnah makes one distinction, so it should make a second distinction. Meaning once if it's in the business of making distinctions, chilukim, we should make more distinctions. So once the Mishnah itself said that there's a distinction of midras versus magi versus touching, so then we should make a second distinction that v'niflok, it should go on to make a further distinction, and Gemara says, bedida, and say, b'med v'mamun, when is this all true, when it's still tame midras, only shenifska pnim, it's only if the inside flap were to snap. Aval chiton, if the outer one would have snapped, tower, it should be tower. And from the fact that the Mishnah does not make this distinction, makes it very hard to prove that that distinction is really true. So the Gemara goes back to square one. Again, we're assuming that if any of the Oznava snap, whether the inside or even the outside, it still remains a kli and would still be tameh. This goes against what Biochan said earlier, that according to Behuda, if the outside one breaks, it would be tower. So Gemara says, no, Amar Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef, tehei mishaseinu besandal sheyesh lo arba, Oznaim v'arba tarsiosim, where it has four different flaps and four different tongues, if you will, and that's the situation here. Shelo lishbor dvar shel Rabbi Yochanan, in order that we don't break the words literally, Rabbi Yochanan. In other words, in order to maintain Rabbi Yochanan to work out nicely, it's where there are four of them that we're talking about. Well, how does help if there are four of them? So if you look at Rashi all the way towards the bottom, that Rashi says dalat oznaim v'dalat tarsiosim. He says v'hach dinifzika shnia dekatani tarvayu. B'chitzonos kamar, b'stamach Rabbi Yehuda, d'chayim sh'nifska chitzona tahor. So it's talking about with the case where there's four of everything. How does that help out? What does Rashi mean here? So Rashi means, 1 second. I thought I was going to say the opposite way. It's talking about when you only take out the outside. I thought when you take out the outside, that would be tahor according to everyone. Doesn't our Mishnah say it's Tame?
Arba is nine. It says the Mishnah line according to Yehuda that if the outer ears break off, the sandal is considered unusable.
And Tahor.
We don't recognize the fact that it could be transferred to the other foot.
Yeah, but, so when, but once it's a case, but the Mishnah says if one snaps off, it still remains Tame. Here it's saying that Mishnah is going according to Yehuda where it should be Tahor at that point. Let me read this inside 1 second here. So it says, again, we're talking about a shoe that has these four tarsios, which, again, hold on to the, you know, the laces, the flaps that have the laces go through. So two is on the outside, two are on the inside of it. And the Mishnah is dealing with the case of only the outside flaps. And when the Reisha, oh, there we go. When the Reisha talks about if one snaps, It's because if only one snaps, the other one still remains, so it still is a usable kli. That's what we're talking about. If there's only one that's there and that one snaps, that would be tahor. That's Rabbi Yehuda. But since we have two on the outside, two on the inside, a total of four, but two on the outside, if one snaps, the other one still is there and still remains usable, that's why it's still tahor, because it still has a function according to Rabbi Yehuda. There we go. So Gemara now says, ki asa rabin, halfway down, a little bit less than halfway down the Amud here, ki asa rabin, when rabin came back from Eretz Yisrael to Bavo, he quoted that Amr of Chanan bar Abba, Amr of Rav halacha Rabbi Yehuda. We pass like Rabbi Yehuda. The Rabbi Yochanan Amr ain halacha Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yochanan says we don't pass like Rabbi Yehuda. Well, me Amr Rabbi Yochanan halachi does really say that. V'ha'ab mitaritz Rabbi Yochanan alibu the Yehuda. The fact that Rabbi Yochanan is coming to defend and understand the concept, the position of Rabbi Yehuda, does that not mean Shema mina Rabbi Yehuda sirle that he passes like Rabbi Yehuda? And the Gemara says, Amaroi ninu v'alibad Rabbi Yochanan. There's a machlokas Amaroim to what Rabbi Yochanan himself held. We have a number of places like this in Shas, where there's a bit of confusion how Rabbi Yochanan paskined. So there's another example, unclear what Rabbi Yochanan paskined in the end of the day. Did he paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, or did he paskin against Rabbi Yehuda? The Mishnah now that we're on the topic of talking about Tumah V'Tahara, so the Gemara now quotes the Mishnah in Maseches Kelim, Tanan, that Hasam over there in the Mishnah Kelim, kol kli bali batim, every utensil pot used by a bal bas, Shirun Akrimonim, the shear is a rimon, which means if there's a hole, a gaping hole in the pot that a pomegranate could pass through, that would be that would show that it's tahor, it's no longer usable. No one's going to use a pot with a massive hole that size. So by Chizkir, let's say Rebbe Chizkir, Nikav HaKemotzi Zayis, Visasma, let's say there's a hole the size of an olive. So that's not going to ruin the kli. Visasma, you close off the olive-sized hole. Now another hole, a different place, develops the size of an olive, visasmo, and you close that off as well. So you can still use it. You patch up the kli a little bit. Acha hishlimo lemotzi rimon, until all the holes amount to a rimon, meaning they're never there at one time. But if you look at all the patches that you put in, they amount to a total of a rimon. So what's the din in that case? Mahu. So would we say, since now it actually does have enough holes to amount to rimon, maybe it should be tahor. So Amar le Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi, shanisa lanu sandal, you taught us, a sandal, shenifsika achas mi'aznav, if a sandal, one of its flaps snapped, v'tikna, you fix it, it's tamei midras. If, however, nifsika shni, if the second one snaps, even though the first one's already fixed, v'tikna, tarim in a midras, about tamei maga, midras. So we say that, forgetting the maga, but regarding midras, the tumas midras, once the second flap breaks, it's tahor. Ah, why? It's both fixed right now. Ein echanami, both flaps had broken, but right now the first one was fixed, when the second one was broken, so why do we amount them together? So it must be, the Gemara says, V'amrinu l'cha, and I said to you, Ma'isha Rishona, what's the difference of the Rishona? The ha'kaima shniya. Shniya nami mit takna Rishona. Meaning when the first one broke, the second one was still intact. Now when the second one broke, the first one was intact. Now even though the first one had broken, but right now it's fixed. So what's the difference? So the Gemara says, a very important cloud when it comes to Hilchos Tumah, Amr Salim, you said to us, Panim Chadash is Balakan. It's a Panim Chadash, it's a new kli. You're right, it functions, but once you change a kli so much where all the materials are brand new from the original kli, when it was Tame, so let's say I have, the parts of the shoe, there's two flaps, there's A and B. That's called actually two A and A. A and A, the two, A1 and A2. That's how it was initially made. So A1 is fixed, and so now it's B1. B1 and A2. You follow me with the numbers, everyone? So now A2 broke, so you now put B2, you put the second one in. But now, in essence, the shoe is completely different. It's all made from B leather, not from the A leather. So the initial cleat that was there is no longer there anymore. It was always a time and place you're able to function, is able to use it. But still, since all the new pieces, or most of it, are new materials, it's called Panim Chadash Balakan. It's a brand new cleat. All the materials are brand new, and therefore it should be Tahor. So, yeah, whenever that happens, it's just everything's undone.
A year later,
and yep. Unclear, doesn't make a difference to the timing of it. Right now, since the materials are all brand new, and therefore it's Panim Chadash Balakan, so here as well, Hachanami Panim Chadash Balakan, meaning Legabe the Kli. We had enough holes in there that patched up to make the size of a rimon, even though while you're using it, you're patching it up in here and there, and when the final Kazais hole was made, everything was patched up. Still, you have enough material there to make it a brand new Panim Chadash, and for that reason, it's going to be Tahor. So the Gemara says, Kari Aleh, less din bar inish. This person has no din. He's not able to understand things. He didn't like this understanding. Rashi says, less de bar inish ela malach. This person isn't a person. He's a malach. He's an angel. To think of such a svara, he's out of this world. Ikadami, he says, oh, kagon din bar inish. Or this person's like a gavra bakul. He's a real, great person. Not that he's a malach, but he's a chashuva inish, a chashuva ish. So Amar Rabbi Zeira, Zeira says, Amar Rava bar Zimuna, im rishonim bnei malachim, if the earlier generations were, angels, anu bnei anashim, we are just human beings. Im rishonim, if the earlier generations were bnei anashim, were people, anu kechamorim, we were like donkeys. I mean, you read this Daros here describing here. So, v'lo kechamorim shel Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, don't think you're like the chash of a donkey, of the great nisan that took place by the donkey of Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. V'sher Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair el Kishar Chamorim. A stam donkey in the world, not the these chashver Chamorim. We were just regular donkeys. So just describing in an interesting way the Yeridos Hadaros that took place here. The Gemara now says, finishing off the daf, V'nodos Yayin V'shemim. When it came to these little canteens, little jugs of wine and oil, they would oftentimes have a little tie and a string to tie it on top. Pshita, of course, this would be allowed on Shabbos because people tie it and untie it regularly when they use it. So Gemara says, Lo tzricha de islei tarti one. It's a situation where there are two oznaim, Rashi explains, that are tied together. And mal the same as sometimes, chad minayo betulei mavtulei. Sometimes you only open up one of the ties and leave the other one remaining tied, and that would be perhaps a kesher shakayama. Kemash shalom, we learn from here that people are not going to do that. We're not choshesh, people are going to untie both knots. Kedera shabasa, we had also a pot used to make meat. Oftentimes they put some type of cloth covering to tie it together, like a lid. So pshita, that's also, of course, obvious, because people always tie it and untie it regularly. And lo tzricha, this lay shlacha, there's a shlacha on top, but the shlacha, as Rashi, is a spout of some sort, and therefore you don't have to untie it. You can just tie the top and use the spout to pour it out and leave the cloth tied on top of it. So mal the same, what would you have thought? Betulei batalei, you would leave the cloth tied on top and remains a kesher shekayama. Kamash v'lan, that we're saying that the person will not leave it tied, and therefore would be permitted. And then, finishing off to the Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer Kosher. He was describing a case. He was in the Mishnah. He said that you're allowed to tie in front of an animal so the animal doesn't exit the area. So pshita, of course you're allowed to, because this also is something that people tie regularly, tie and untie throughout the day. So what's the chiddush? Lo tzricha d'islei tarti isari. It's a case where there are two knots. And ma'al the same, what would you think? Chadim inayu betulei bavtulei. And maybe you'll only untie one of the strings and leave the other one intact. Kamashan, the people will untie both of them. So now the Gemara says, and we'll finish off with this. Amar Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Halacha, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, we pass like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, that you're allowed to tie and untie in the face, in the presence of an animal to make sure that they don't leave. It doesn't address here the question of tzad, but seemingly there's no situation of tzad here. It's an animal that's already caught.
Maybe it's already close. Exactly,
it doesn't leave. It's already in the cage, it's already in the pen, so you're not catching it, but you're just making sure that it doesn't leave, so you're just tying it tighter. So that's all allowed. So the Gemara says, we're passing like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Amar le Abaye. Abaye says, Halacha michlal de pligi. Does this imply that they're arguing? I mean, only Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov said this in the Mishnah. So does that imply the fact that we're passing like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, does that indicate that the Tanakhama argued and says you can't do that? Amar le, so he says, my nafkalachmina, why do you care whether the Tanakhama argues or not? Lamais we pass like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Okay, maybe Tanakhama agrees, maybe they argue, but we don't care because we pass like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. So Amar Lei, Gemara Gamur Zemursa Tehei. But there's a big machlokas how to read this line here. Rashi in a few places seem to indicate differently. Rashi makes no comment here, but some understanding is that are you going to say we just the Gemara is a Gemara, just a song? We just say things without any reason? Of course not. Meaning, when we say halacha k'rabiyu Elazar ben Yaakov, that means literally. Therefore, there's a Tanakhama that argues. Don't take these things just as songs as if they're meaningless. Others say, no, you should read Gemara Gamur as a Zemurti. It's a song. The way to remember things is through Zemiros, through singing. So sings the way Gemara means the tradition. Of course, if you remember this way, he kind of sung it and therefore became part of the tradition, and you should take it literally. So different ways how to read this. I happened to see just yesterday a Chassam Sofer about remembering things. The songs are one of the ways to remember things, to make it a Gemara. So I saw Chassam Sofer actually in Daf Kuf Mem on Shabbos. I happened to come across it. And he says that one of the great ways to remember those who are doing Zichru, one of the great, I sent it to the one who runs Zichru, So he says there, one of the ways to remember things is when you do things that are strange. Chidushim, when you make a chidush in the Gemara, that's how to remember things. And he says, even if the chidush isn't true, it still helps for the memory. And Chassam Sofer says he knows from his own experience, for chidushim that may not be so true, but it helps to remember things, because the stranger something is, the greater it is, the easier it is to remember something. Because the whole zikr program is based on very strange stories and strange things going on, and therefore it really sticks in the memory much greater. Okay, we'll stop here and have a wonderful Shabbos.